Bibles, if you have them, which I hope you do. And let's go to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And we're going to discuss tonight. We're continuing our discussion of reasons to believe, and that is that evidence that Jesus is God's Son, or the deity of Christ. And so we're going to look tonight at a couple of things that Jesus spoke about himself and how he demonstrated to us of how we are to be Christ-like and how we are to serve others. So let's look at verses 1 through 4 of chapter 13. And let me get my clicker so we can go through this together. But let me read verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to look at our study. All right, so it says in chapter 13, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and they had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist." So let's stop there for a moment, and let's look here at the first thing tonight, and that is a demonstration of servanthood. A demonstration of servanthood. So letter A is the situation. The situation. So let me give you four significant events here just in these four verses that we need to talk just for a few moments about. The first one is this. In regard to the situation, we are now looking at verse 1. We're looking at just before the Passover feast. Now, verse 1, we see here a very significant word. And that word is the word new. K-N-E-W. New. Now, why is this significant? It signifies that Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he would soon be departing from this world and go to be with his Father. He knew that the betrayal of Judas was imminent. He knew that his crucifixion was imminent. And it did not take Christ by surprise. Now, Jesus, there's a very significant expression here at the end of this verse. And that is, he loved them to the end. Now, what did that expression mean? He loved them to the end. Who is the them? Well, the them is his chosen 12. But it also shows this, that he loved his apostles so much that he was willing to show his love to them through a personal sacrifice and an amazing sacrifice. So the first thing is we have, just before the Passover, the deity and sovereignty of Christ. The second thing is he loved his disciples completely. And that is, once again, that is what is meant by that expression of having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. He was about to show them the full extent of his love by washing their feet and dying on the cross for them. Number three, let's look at verse 2. During supper, during the Passover feast, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So the second thing is, he loved his disciples completely. The third thing is, the devil has already influenced Judas to betray Christ. John puts it this way, that the devil had put the thought of betrayal into the heart of Judas, meaning that he had directed Judas's total being to betray Jesus. So who is behind all of this? Satan is behind all of this betrayal. Now, it was directed by God. This has not taken God by surprise. It has not taken Jesus by surprise. It was all foreordained by God. But once again, Satan is working behind the scenes to influence Judas to be the one to betray Christ. And then we also see in verse 3, Jesus knowing, there we have once again, we saw in verse 1, we saw knew, now we see in verse 3, knowing. Now what does he know? He knows that the Father had given all things into his hands. This statement points out once again the sovereignty of Jesus, that Jesus was in control. Because it says, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God. So let me ask a question here, and here's a key point that I want you to remember here, just in these first four verses. And what is that? The question is this. Why does the fact that Jesus had sovereign control as he made his way to the cross, how does it help to convey the depth of his love? Simply this. Jesus willingly went to the cross. Jesus willingly laid down his life for the elect. No one forced him to do it. Jesus willingly went to the cross. His enemies could not have made him go if he wasn't willing. So now, as we're going to continue looking at this chapter, the sovereign was about to become a servant. He prepared to wash the disciples' feet. So that leads to a second thing, and letter B is the symbol. Letter B is the symbol. So read with me, if you will, verses 5 through 11. It says, then he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who is bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew, there we have that word again, knew. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. So, verse 6, Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. Now, why is this important that Jesus washed the disciples' feet? In that time, in that that era, there was, in the middle of the town, there was a bathhouse. And they had separate facilities, one for the men, one for the women. And they would go to that facility and bathe. Then afterward, because they wore sandals, they would then go back home. But when they would go back home, their feet would get dirty again. So when they got home, there was always a basin of water that sat at the door. And if they were wealthy enough, they had a slave, doulos. That slave then would wash the feet of the homeowner, or the spouse, the children, would wash their feet to complete the washing of their body. So, Jesus is portraying to them, I am your slave. I am your servant. I am completing the washing. So, here is a couple of things here. Peter now, as you well know, as we have discussed over and over and over, Peter is always opening up his big mouth. So here we see Peter asking Jesus, "Are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "Peter, you do not understand this now, but afterward you will understand it." Peter told Jesus then that you will never wash my feet, as we see in verse 8. Now, let me ask a question. Let's put ourselves in Peter's place. How would you think you would react if Jesus, your leader and the Son of God, began to wash your feet? Would you feel humiliated? Would you feel maybe unworthy? And I think that's what Peter felt here. I think Peter felt unworthy. Jesus, you are Lord, you're God, and you're washing my feet? But then, in verse 9, we see here the reply by Christ. And this is what he says. "If I do not wash your feet, Peter, you do not belong to me." So then Peter said, "Well then wash all of me. Wash my hands, wash my head, wash all of me." But see, the answer that Christ gave was instructive. Because it shows here that foot washing illustrates the spiritual cleansing that is provided by the death of Jesus. He then goes on to further explain that whoever is washed has had an initial cleansing, a cleansing that does not need to be repeated. The disciples, except one, were clean. Why? Because they had believed in Jesus and had been cleansed. So now let's look at letter C. And letter C is the significance. The significance. Let's look at verses 12 through 17. "When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly," or as in the King James, it says, "verily, verily," which is the same word, "truly, truly," or "listen up. I say to you, a servant," now that word servant is the doulos word, which means slave. So you could put slave there. "Is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So foot washing here in this culture was a task of the household slave. So what are some conclusions that the disciples have made here in pondering Jesus' question? Just what we can learn here. Serving others was important to Jesus. A true leader is not about being in charge. It is about serving others. It is just not about making major decisions. It is about serving others. I remember a few years ago, a pastor friend of mine passed away, and he was the pastor to some of my family members that lived out in the country, country church, and he'd been there for a number of years. I had heard him preach a couple of funerals of some family members, and he, to be honest, he was not the best speaker, not the best preacher. But when he died, that community mourned, and they mourned for a number of days. In fact, they went a couple of years without bringing a pastor in. And I remember asking a relative of mine, I said, when are y'all going to get a pastor. They said, oh, we're still mourning. I said, well, he's been dead a couple of years. I said, you know, he wasn't the best preacher. Then they all said, oh, we knew that. I said, well, what made him so important to you? They said, we all knew that he wasn't the best preacher, but we knew that he was a wonderful pastor. See, there's a difference between being a preacher and being a pastor. There's a difference in being one that preaches and one that serves. And see, Christ is saying here to his apostles, it is important for you to be a leader, but it is more important for you to be a servant. There's two words that I want you to look at here. And the first word is the word ought. The word ought. It expresses one's moral responsibility. It expresses one's obligation to act in a certain way. So Jesus was providing an example for them to do as he has done, where he says, as I have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then there's another word, example. We see in verse 15, in fact, I think you should underline or circle those words of ought and example, for I have given you an example. We should be like Christ. We should meet other people's needs. We should pray for one another. We should challenge one another spiritually. So we see in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them, if you obey me. So we see here an example put forth by Jesus. And what is that example? Jesus washed his disciples' feet and is as an example of service. What is the significance? Jesus calls believers to humble, selfless service. So then we see Roman numeral number 2, and that is the disclosure of his betrayal. The disclosure of his betrayal. So let's begin with verse 18, and let's go all the way down to verse 30. So bear with me and follow along in your Bibles if you have them with you, which I hope you do. Verse 18, it says, I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, talking about John, was reclining at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. So I want to give you some points here in regard to this. Jesus then announced his coming betrayal. He did not identify Judas by name, but he told the 12 that he knew the disciples he had chosen. Judas was not chosen by mistake. Jesus knew that Judas would betray him before Judas did. So when Judas was called, chosen to be an apostle, he was chosen for this one task. And that was to be the one that would betray Jesus. Now I want you to note in verse 19, the word I am. As we have been discussing since we began this series back in January, that Jesus often used those two words, I am. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is God. But then we also see something else. And it says that in verse 21, that Jesus now is troubled in spirit. What does that mean? It simply means this, an emotional disturbance. It means that he is feeling turmoil on the inside, because now he knows that one that he has invested his life in for the last 3 years of ministry is now going to betray him. Jesus pointed to the traitor by giving him a piece of bread, and then he gives a command to Judas, and that is that the job that you have been given, go do it quickly. That word quickly means this. It means do it at once. What did he do? Did he hang around? No. In verse 30, it says that he did it immediately. He was ready to betray Jesus. All that remained was the opportunity now to betray Jesus. So let me ask you this question. Based on the actions of Judas, now, we looked earlier at how did Jesus encourage the others to be servants? Now, how do you think the attitude of Judas is towards servanthood? I think as Judas sat there and Jesus washed his feet, and I think as he heard Jesus teach them about what a true servant is all about, I think that he looked at him with disdain. I think that it made no sense to him at all. He wanted to get as much for himself out of the imminent arrest of Jesus that he could get. Judas was no longer thinking about anything other than himself. When he started following Jesus, it was all about what can Jesus do for me? And we see that in today's society. We see so many people say, okay, I'll follow Jesus as long as I get something out of it. As long as he can do for me what I want him to do. How do they view Jesus? They view Jesus as a cosmic bellhop. They view Jesus as a cosmic Santa Claus. But Jesus is saying here in these verses that we have been looking at that we are to be servants. So then that leads to a third point. And that is a discourse about his departure. A discourse about his departure. So the first thing in regard to this is, letter A, a command to disciples. Judas is out of the picture. He's gone. He's left. Jesus now is beginning to give what we can call a farewell discourse, a final address to the remaining 11. So let's look at verses 31 through 38. When he had gone out, talking about Judas, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as also I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. So in verse 32, we see that Jesus now gives three certainties about his coming glorification. The first thing is this: God would be glorified in the death of Jesus. Secondly, God would glorify Jesus in himself when he himself raised Jesus from the dead. God vindicates the ministry of Jesus, especially his death, when he is raised from the dead. This would bring glory to Jesus. Thirdly, God would glorify Jesus without delay. His death was imminent. It was coming soon. Jesus then tells the disciples they were unable to go where he is going. But a new commandment is given. A new commandment is given. And what is this? Love one another just as I have loved you. So the disciples were to love as Jesus loved. Now, what kind of love did Jesus show to them? What kind of love did Jesus show to us? Very simply, sacrificially love, sincere love,